Have you ever noticed that the only time we read from the book of Joel is on Ash Wednesday? And that's from the beginning part of chapter 2, where Joel talks about the destruction that's coming on God's people and warns them to return, to turn back to God before it's too late. Well, the section of Joel that Linda read this morning is the morning after peace. It's God's pep talk to the people who have gone through the worst and have felt that they've lost a big chunk of time out of their lives, a big chunk of their life that they can never get back. So this, what we read this morning, is God's message to them that Joel gets to deliver. Have you ever felt like you've lost a chunk of time, a chunk that you'll never get back? I know that I'm fond of saying, after someone or something has wasted a piece of my life, maybe you do the same thing, what do you say? Wow, there's 2 hours, or there's a day I'm never going to get back again, right? Do you do the same thing? Time is important to us. We only have so much, and we can't get more. We are finite creatures that begin and end physically, and our appointed hours are precious and few. No, I'm not going to go there. You know what I'm thinking. All right, that we too can share. Thank you. But how often do we feel like we've actually lost time? If you've ever been hit with an illness, a bad illness, for example, you know what it means for your life to be put on hold for a week or a month or maybe a year. Likewise, think about when you make a wrong turn and then spend several hours heading in the wrong direction. This is for guys only. Only to have to retrace all that distance before you can make any actual progress towards your destination. We feel like time is irretrievably lost when we have to wait, when we're in heavy traffic, on our way to work. Who gets to sit in traffic on 75 every morning? Who enjoys, isn't that the best time ever? Or you're standing in line at the post office right before Christmas, or the grocery store, or the doctor's office. Time spent spinning our wheels on a project or a relationship or a tough time in our life. And what about the occasional person who, after serving a couple of decades in prison, is finally released after the discovery that they did not commit the crime after all? Those are all times when we feel cheated. We feel like our time has been squandered or taken from us. And that's not a pleasant realization, especially when we think about the finiteness of our lives and realize that those lost days are not just on paper, but it's time that's really gone and can never be recovered by us. Time. We never seem to have enough of it. We always want more time. A longer vacation, more time with the grandkids, a night we wish would never end. And still we don't finish things or get around to things because why? Because we don't have the time, right? How many things in your life are you waiting for the time to do? What we think we need is a better way to manage our time, to get more done in less time, to be more efficient, to manage our time well, and we sure don't have the time to lose to a swarm of proverbial locusts now, do we? Time management, indeed. If there's one thing in life that we can never manage, it's time. So all those organizational and business books on time management, garbage. You've probably learned, even if you've read them, that time is not able to be managed. It's constant. It's unchanging. It's invariable. Whether we wake or sleep, work or play, the hands of the clock move on. Time moves forward whether we want it to or not. Time is a gift. And for a dying man, time is a luxury. We didn't earn it. And in truth, we don't deserve it. Time is the great equalizer. Every person on this planet, from the homeless man on the streets of LA to Elon Musk, is given more or less the same amount of time. Just one lifetime. Use it or lose it. Use it for good. Use it for evil. But when it runs out, well, that's that. And all the money in the world cannot buy us one more second. We can't manage time. We can manage how we live in the time given to us, but we can't manage time. When we talk of saving time or losing it, what we're really talking about is nothing more than how we use the time given to us. Or even more to the point, how we perceive how we've used the time given to us. Now, certainly the prophet Joel and the people of Judah knew the experience of lost time. They had seen a massive swarm of locusts sweep across their land, devouring not only the crops they counted on for their own nourishment, but every shred of grain that might have fed their flocks. Every blade of grass and weed was eaten too. Locusts are insatiable. A swarm can eat at a rate of 400 to 600 feet of vegetation a day, devouring everything literally in their path. Now, what's more, while the crop loss in Joel's day was immediately felt, it also had lingering effects for years because those parts of the plants that would have produced seeds for the next year had also been destroyed. Now, Joel and his countrymen viewed the plague as divine judgment. And divine judgments can do one of two things for us. They can turn us towards God in our need, or turn us away from God in our anger. For Israel, it caused them to turn towards God, and that resulted in the end of the infestation, along with a promise from God to restore both them and their land. And that's where the passage picks up from today. As God puts his promise to them, abundant rain will fall again, and their threshing floors will be full of grain once more. And then he says, I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, my great army which I sent against you. Now, of course, God wasn't saying he would actually give them back the time that the locust took. God was not giving them a do-over, like in the old Groundhog Day movie where the weatherman gets to live the same day over and over again until he gets it right. That's not what God's talking about. That's just make-believe, folks. What God is saying is, I will give you back what you lost in crops and vegetation, in your sense of well-being, and in your relationship with me. That I will give back to you. The actual time lost was gone forever, but they could make the most of the time that they had left. Is lost time actually lost? Can we actually say that time has been taken from us when, in fact, we did live those days, even if it was in circumstances we didn't like or that halted our forward momentum? You know the old saying, life is what happens while you're busy making other plans? But it's also what happens when you're enduring forced downtime, when you're sitting in traffic, when you're lying in bed sick, when you're waiting out bad weather, or contemplating what the locusts have eaten out of your life. Time is a teacher, no matter how we spend it. The author of Psalm 90 writes, and this is a funeral psalm, he writes, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Time can be our greatest teacher. We just need to be open to the lessons that she teaches. A little downtime, a dead cell phone, no internet service, nothing on TV, a rainy day, a snowstorm, COVID, time wasted, maybe, time to sit and think a spell with myself. And if we're smart alongside God with us, well, that's just priceless. Call it mindfulness if you have to give it a fancy 21st century name, and I hate that term, mindfulness. Call it that if you want. Mindful to schedule a little bit of downtime now and again in our lives. Some Beverly Hillbillies time. More on that in a minute. In this little red passage from Joel that we just read this morning, God refers to the locusts that caused the lost time is his great army which I sent against you. It sure does make you wonder whether God sometimes gifts us with the gift of lost time in the hope that we may use that interlude to bring about a change of heart on our parts, or maybe the realization that we need to change how we're living. That's exactly how God used the years the locust ate for the people of Judah, to urge them to repent. And he says, "You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel." Maybe lost time in traffic, or in plans to fall through, or in a forced timeout from illness, are exactly just that. A little time out for us to go and sit in the corner and think about how and where we want to or need to spend the hours that are ahead of us. And it happens elsewhere in Scripture. Certainly the prodigal son's time spent in the far country where he squandered his property in dissolute living could be deemed wasted time on his part. But it was also there in that time that he came to himself, as Scripture puts it, and recognized his need for mercy and forgiveness. In that sense, his lost time really had a purpose. It was time well spent finding himself and finding God. And that time wasted in a foreign land became time well spent. British journalist and author Malcolm Muggeridge, who became a Christian later in life, titled his autobiography, Chronicles of Wasted Time. But when you read his book, you discover that as he reflects on how he'd spent his time, very little of it did he think was wasted in the sense of truly being lost. Malcolm discovered as he looked back on his life that while many parts of his life seemed to be wasted at times, when looking back, that's not what they were at all. Now, have you ever said to yourself, you know, if I knew then what I know now, come on, fess up. Don't you do that all the time? Boy, if I knew then what I knew now. But the truth is, all of the time, the profitable, the wasted, the heartbreaking, the joyful, all of our time makes us who and what we are today, the good and the bad. And sometimes we need a little bit of time eaten by locusts to get our attention and to refocus us. And I suspect that's how God intends it to be. So-called time lost is useful for coming to ourselves, for making sense of our life, for maturing spiritually, and for listening for God's word to us. In that sense, God absolutely does offer us back the time we once considered lost. Maybe time's a wasting, but then again, maybe it's time well spent as well. My favorite poet, Robert Frost, put it this way. He wrote a poem called A Time to Talk, and he says, "When a friend calls to me from the road and slows his horse to a meaning walk, I don't stand still and look around on all the hills I haven't hoed and shout from where I am, 'What is it?' No, not as there's time to talk. I thrust my hoe in the mellow ground, blade end up and 5 feet tall, and plod. I go up to the stone wall for a friendly visit." Time wasted, time well spent. Well, that's between you and God. Time out, or time needed to be out. What do you call those spaces God gives you to set and think a spell? Maybe we all need a little bit of Beverly Hillbillies time to take a load off and set a spell with God and enjoy the moment between us and God and us and each other. And that, my friends, is time that is never wasted. Amen.